The sermon text for the day is found in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Hear these words from our scriptures. Jesus says to his disciples these things. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you great thanks and praise for your presence among us, for the truth of Christmas, and for the truth that you are alive again, even after Good Friday. We give you thanks for the whole sweep of salvation's story and the great role that you play in it. Help us, Lord, in these moments as we reflect on the light that you have brought into the world, to be light for a world that is desperately in need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christmas is a complicated holiday. It's complicated for a number of reasons. Difficult for a number of reasons. It can be a very sad holiday. This is something we don't talk about very much, but it's something that we need to acknowledge and say straight on. This can be a very sad time for people, especially those who have lost family members in the last year, first Christmas without and all this thing. I understand that, with my grandmother having passed away this past year, the first Christmas that we won't have in Ohio. It can be a very sad time. It can be a very stressful time. For those who are welcoming family members from afar and preparing the house and getting things ready and sweeping out all the nooks and crannies so that all the beds are made and you can have company come and stay, it can be a very stressful time. It can be a very stressful time for the family members who do the traveling and find themselves at other people's homes. And family relationships are always very interesting, aren't they? Christmas is a complicated time because you have to put on your best face. Not just your best clothes, but your best face when you have these family gatherings. You have to say the nice things in the Christmas cards. You have to put on the nice expression even at church when you come to celebrate the birth for Jesus. And year after year, time after time, it seems like you have to present yourself here to hear someone like me standing in a place like this saying this is the reason for the season, and we talk about hope and love and joy and peace when sometimes those things are very much absent from our lives. Christmas is a complicated time. We're good at masking what's going on inside ourselves. Even if this is a very positive time for you, I don't mean to say this is just terrible for everybody, maybe Christmas is a happy time for you, it's still complicated because there are all of these plans and arrangements and meals maybe to make happen, gifts to be purchased and wrapped and given and all these things. It's a complicated time. We have made it big in our minds. We have made it a very attention-grabbing holiday. We have to pour all of our energy and all of our best efforts into it. Unless your name is Scrooge, I suppose. There's always a way out. None of us want bad... not asking for volunteers here, by the way. Okay. Somebody said bah humbug, I think, right? At this time of year, we want things to go just right. Whether the events are big or small, we want everything to go well. We never want bad things to happen to us or to our family members. But at this time of year, above all else, we don't want to have to make a trip to the hospital. We don't want to have to make a trip to the lawyer's office. Heaven forbid we don't want to make a trip to a funeral home. We want to have positive experiences at Christmas time. We want to have good memories. The song goes, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, and you might have to dream about it this year, looks like. But it's a metaphor. You know I love metaphors. It's not about the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas is a metaphor for how we want Christmas time to go. We want it to be clean and covered with a fresh blanket of snow so there's no disruption, it's not dirty, that not all of the messy stuff of life is just kind of covered up for a little bit. We want it to be clean and smooth. But our lives are often anything but clean and smooth and peaceful. We've thought a lot about peace today. The theme for today's service is peace. Sometimes we wonder where we can find peace, not just in the world, but in our own lives. This week on Facebook, I saw an image. Karen, if you'd put it up on the screen for me. This, I think, is the image that I saw. It has the same saying on it. There it is. It says, "Forgive others. Not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve peace." That was being shared by people, and you know how things go on Facebook, you see things. And I thought about that. I thought, well, there's some truth to that, I suppose. There's some value to it. The forgiveness that we extend to other people is important because it does bring peace to our lives. Sometimes we hold on to these grudges or whatever, the offenses that people have done against us. And if we can release those and forgive, really forgive, then there can be real peace in our hearts, at least in that small instance. I suppose there's truth to that. This can bring peace to our minds and our hearts and even our bodies. But I think an idea like this, forgive others not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve peace, it reveals an underlying concern that we all have, an underlying issue in all of our lives, that we need peace, that there is something missing in our lives when we don't have peace. Peace. Internally, in our own relationships with people, in our own selves, in our work environments, in our homes, in our church, on the road, even in our relationship with God. We need peace. That's enough of that, Karen. You can go back to the other image. I didn't know how to work my way out of that, but there we are. We're done with that image. Thinking about peace and the importance of it and how much we need it. I think the source of our peace should not be the acts of forgiveness that we do to other people, or the expressions of love that we share with other people, or even the family gatherings that we have at Christmas time and other holidays of the year. I don't think the source of our peace should be found in anything that we create, anything that we do on our own, because like anything that we create, it's just not lasting. The problem with peace that we try to create for ourselves is that it does not persist to the next issue that we face. The pleasant meal that we work so hard to put on for the family is disrupted by the argument or the hard feelings or the misunderstanding or the empty chair. The internal peace that we pursue is often thrown off by the accident that takes place, or the surprise, or the loss, or the fear, or the circumstance. Even the peace among nations is disrupted when the next terrorist strikes, or the next dictator rises to power, or the next trade agreement falls to pieces. 97 years ago, the world came to a peace agreement. 97 years ago, on November 11, 1918, World War I came to an end. It wasn't called World War I then, because there was only one, and you don't name something one when there's only one of them. It was termed lots of different things, but some people called it the war to end all wars. And it was terrible, it was brutal, and there was trench warfare throughout Europe, Western Europe, and unbelievably large numbers of people died from all sorts of nations fighting over what? Who remembers anyway, right? But the war to end all wars came to an end on what we call Armistice Day. That was the name of the day, November 11, originally. We call it Veterans Day now to kind of broaden its meaning. Armistice Day, the original meaning, had to do with armies laying down their weapons of war and the fighting stopping and the conflict ending. A new peace was struck. Kind of an odd way to use language, isn't it? A new peace was found, created, let's say that, on November 11, 1918. The war to end all wars ended in peace. And then, 20 years later, another global war broke out in the very same part of the world. The problem with peace that we create is that it is a fantasy. It is a wish. It is a dream. We keep trying to create it. 97 years later, we keep trying to create peace with treaties, with wars, with putting on our best faces at the Christmas dinner table, but our very best efforts at creating peace just do not last very long. We know this. And we accept it. And this is part of why I think Christmas is such a sentimental time of year for us. We know that there is not peace in this world, and we know that there is not always peace within ourselves. And so we try to manufacture some peace so that we might limp along, grateful for the small blessing of a break in the conflicts. This is why the Old Testament reading that Jeremy read for us from Isaiah chapter 9 speaks so loudly into our world today. Isaiah said, "There will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." There will be a substantial change to how the world works. It will not be a temporary armistice, but a true peace will come about when the Savior, the Messiah, arrives. Isaiah uses the language of light versus darkness to describe this peace. People have moved out of darkness and into light. All of the constant wars and conflicts bring darkness into the world, but take heart because a true light, an unending light, is coming soon. Wars and conflicts will vanish, not because of the coming of Goliath or the Terminator or any of the heroes that we want to have, the big bad guys who will stomp out all the evil in the world. I should say the big good guys who stomp out all the bad guys. That's not how the true light will come into the world. Isaiah says all of these wars and conflicts will vanish because of the birth of a child who will be called the Prince of Peace. He will reign forever. Forever. And his peace will never end. Christmas is a complicated holiday. Because that already happened. And yet here we are, still with a lack of peace. This is the message of Christmas, that there is love and hope and joy and peace, that the Savior of the world has come to us. His peaceful, never-ending reign has begun. The kingdom of God is among us now. And a new way of living is available for those who follow Jesus. The season of Advent, in this particular year, this season of Advent, we have been thinking about the imagery of light. Shine, let your light shine. It's been a recurring theme through all of our readings for the Advent candles this season. The image of light describes Jesus and it describes his ministry. And in the past few weeks, we've been thinking about how light is an image to represent this one who has come. The baby born in Bethlehem grew up to become this man, Jesus, who brought about tremendous and unending peace through his life and his service. 3 weeks ago, we thought about how Jesus is life, and in him, in his life, was the light for all people. The light has come into the world, but the darkness has not understood it. 2 weeks ago, we thought about the story of the shepherds and the angels, the declaration of the birth of Jesus, and how the angels celebrated not just that Jesus was born, but that the message was given to people, and now not just any people, but the lowest of all people, shepherds, poorest of all people, were given this message first. The light has come into the world. And the shepherds saw the light of the world with their own eyes. They saw the baby lying in the manger. And they went home rejoicing because of what they had seen. Last week we thought about the wise men who saw a light, a star that guided them to meet the light of the world. They saw this child. They saw the King of the Jews, the light of the world, face to face, and they shouted for joy. Today in Matthew 5, the scripture reading that we've shared today, just a few verses from the Sermon on the Mount, that greatest teaching of Jesus that takes up three whole chapters of Matthew's Gospel that we spent almost all of the summer and the fall looking at one piece at a time here. The Sermon on the Mount, just a bit of this message in these three verses, Jesus turns the idea around. He is the light of the world. He has come into the world, but in these verses, Jesus says to us, you are the light of the world. You shine your light before others. A command, shine your light before other people, so that they will see your lives, your good deeds, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. There is plenty of darkness in this world. There is plenty of darkness in our lives. And we do a fairly good job of covering up the darkness so that others will see light instead of gloom and despair. But those who follow Jesus, shepherds and wise men and us, those who follow Jesus must experience the light of Jesus within ourselves. This is the mystery of Christmas, that the light of the world, the creator of all things, has entered the world as one of us. We call this the incarnation. That's the fancy word to describe the theological idea that God has become human, that Jesus took on, the Word of God took on flesh and dwelled among us. And that event, the incarnation of Jesus, has had ripple effects down through history. Not just in the sharing of the story, but in the incarnation itself. Jesus became human. The Word of God became flesh and dwelled among us. In the person of Jesus, lived among us, and continues to live among us these many hundreds and even thousands of years later. Jesus continues to live among us, taking up residence within us, incarnationally living among us, transformationally living within us. His desire is to take up residence in us and among us, so that our lives might be centered on him and not on ourselves. Another way of saying this is that Jesus, the light of the world, shines his light into the darkest areas of our lives. And light gets in everywhere. That's what light does. It goes everywhere unless there's something to block it. Jesus shines his light even into the reasons that Christmas is a complicated time of year for us. He shines his light even into the reasons that we are not peaceful at this time of year. He shines his light in order to change the darkness into light. What does this look like? Isaiah used the language of light to connect to the promise of peace. Isaiah, before Jesus, several hundred years before Jesus, connected the light of God with unending peace. And the truth of the matter is that when Jesus shines His light into our lives, we become peacemakers. We become people of peace. We become committed to relationships with other people. We become committed to reconciliation, to living nonviolent lives, to self-sacrifice. We become committed to making peace within ourselves and within our relationships with those around us. We shine the light of Jesus, which cannot be hidden, so that everyone will see, so that people will be called to the same kind of transformation that we have experienced. This is what Christmas is really about. It's not about decorations or gifts or family gatherings or any of the things that we have constructed around it. Christmas is really about incarnation within us. Christ in us. Transformation. A new way of living. A kind of life that does not live as the world lives, which is not at peace. But a kind of living that is peaceful. We must learn to look inside ourselves to see if there is a lack of light, to see if there is a lack of peace internally. If there is darkness within us, and who among us has no darkness within us, then we are called to follow the light as the shepherds did, as the wise men did, as many millions of people have before us, to pursue Jesus, to meet Him face to face, and to be so transformed by being in His presence that His light shines fully into the deepest parts of our lives. And then we have to examine our relationships with each other, our relationships with our neighbors, with strangers, with foreigners, with enemies, to see if we are shining the light of Christ, or if we are trying to hoard that light for ourselves while somehow shining darkness to those around us. That language doesn't even make sense. How can you shine darkness? And yet, so it's so easy for us to do that, to keep the light of Christ to ourselves, the peace of Christ to ourselves, and shine something very different to other people. This Christmas, this Friday, this whenever you celebrate it, whatever your gathering is, whatever it looks like for you this year, do what you need to do to make it a pleasant and happy holiday as much as it's able to be. But take time this season to gauge the level of light and peace within yourself, and the level of light and peace within your relationships with people around you. I'm growing more and more committed to the idea of needing to have an action step, something for us to do tangibly as a result of this encounter with Christ and with God's Word. So your action step this week, today, actually right now, is to take your bulletin or something to write on, or if you don't have anything to write with, your phone or something, to make a note to yourself. This is your action step. I'd like you to take something, to take something out that you can write a note on. And you have two choices. Two things that you could write down, very simply. First choice: write down the name of a person with whom you are not at peace. And here's, very good, some of you are turning on your phones. Tara, I did, that's fine, it's okay. We're at peace, don't worry. Maybe not now. Write down the name of a person, this is one option for you, you can think about this. Write down the name of a person in your life with whom you are not at peace. Just the name of that person. And then what your challenge is to take that person and commit yourself to work toward peace in that relationship. To allow the light of Christ to shine in your life and eradicate the darkness and let there be peace in that relationship. If there's a person in your life with whom you're not at peace, just write that person's name down and let it be a challenge to you to find peace, to create peace. No, to let Christ make peace, because that peace doesn't end. That's option one. Option two is to write down a part of your life, that is dark, that is heavy, that is sad, that is broken. You could just write a little, just a word or a symbol or something that would symbolize to you. It doesn't have to be public. A part of you that is dark and needs the light of Christ. It could be a memory that you're not letting go of. It could be a tendency toward anger. It could be anything. It could be anything. Internal. Within yourself that needs light. Just write down a little note about that. What that is and what Christ's light could do to transform your life. And then, you have two options, right? A person with whom you need to be made at peace, or a part of yourself that needs to be made at peace. And you may think, oh, the second one's easier because I don't have to do anything. There's a catch to the second one. If you chose the second option, write down the name of a person that you trust, a person that you love, a person that you trust, someone that you will go to and ask to help you on this journey. Because the light of Christ is not meant to be hid under a bushel, but it is meant to be shared and spread, just as we shared with the candles today. None of us is light on our own. None of us can do this journey on our own. It is all intensely relational. So for that part of yourself that needs light, is there a person in your life that you trust to be vulnerable enough to share that with, to say, you know, I need you to pray with me about this area of my life. Would you join me on this journey? Put that person's name next to that thing in your life. You see, you thought it was going to be easier, but it's not. Find peace. Let Christ be the source of our peace. Of our peace. Not just my peace and your singular peace, but our peace, because we must be on this journey together. For Christ did not come to save individual people. He came to save all people, and to bring them all into His body. Would you pray with me? O Lord our God, we pray for peace in our lives, and we pray that your light would shine in us, that we would remove those obstacles. Perhaps you might need to remove those obstacles that keep your light from shining into the darkest recesses of our hearts. And we need your light to shine in our relationships with other people, that there might be peace between us and among us. Between people in this room and between people across the street, between people on the other side of the world. Help us, Lord, to be peacemakers, that we might shine and reflect the light of Jesus into the darkest parts of this world. We give you thanks that you, Lord, are the Prince of Peace, and that in you we can find eternal peace and true light. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.